Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation. Boyhood, cowboy, warrior, lover, king, and sage. I'm Jim Burns. Many parents are under the assumption that manhood is a natural progression from boyhood. Like it's something that happens to a boy rather than something he grows into. As a result, there are lots of guys who may look like men, but they're really still little boys at heart. And there's another generation of boys right behind them that are heading for a similar fate. Well, fortunately, there is something we as parents can do to reverse this curse amongst ourselves and then show our sons how to follow the map for the masculine journey. It's going to help a whole lot of people. Best-selling author John Eldridge is with me once again, and during the next half hour, we're going to continue our conversation about what real manhood means. This is an important topic for both dads and moms to hear, so stay with us. Homeward starts right now. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. John Eldridge with us again today. What real manhood means? Very important conversation. Unfortunately, there are a lot of men, there are a lot of boys who struggle because they don't know what it takes to be a real man. And they actually have a real misconception. Today, John Eldridge is going to help us understand just what it means to be a man. He's the founder and director of Ransom Heart Ministries in Colorado Springs, the author of best-selling books, including Wild at Heart, Captivating, Unveiling the Mystery of a Woman's Soul, which he co-authored with his wife, Stacy, both bestsellers, runaway bestsellers, influencing, in many ways, this generation in great ways. The Eldridges live in Colorado with their three sons. John, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be back.
Well, we're talking about your book, The Way of the Wild Heart, A Map for the Masculine Journey. And I actually was telling you before the program last time how much I appreciate this book and how much it has helped me. I'm very fortunate. I grew up in a home with all boys. I now live in a home with all girls. I was thinking about my own dad, and I was thinking, I'm so grateful. He's 88 years old. I was speaking just this last week in Northern California, flew home, and needed to drop off some keys to him. And I just sat there with him, and he was watching a tennis match. And, you know, we didn't say much, but we just sitting there, he gave me strength. And at 88, he's not doing a whole lot of talking. He's definitely not doing a whole lot of running around. But just his presence makes a difference. And I think one of the things that you would say is that it's so very important for a son, no matter what age, to have the physical presence of his father, you know, helping him become all that he can be.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I felt that from my dad. My dad didn't, he worked, you know, 7 days a week and was very, very busy, but I always felt loved by dad. And I, you know, kind of the apple of his eye in some ways. I'm the youngest, so I probably got away with more stuff than the others.
Yeah.
But, you know, he never read a book like this. He just kind of figured it out. But the truth is that sometimes men who did not receive some kind of a blessing from their parents, some kind of an acknowledgement that you're going to be okay, these are men who are still struggling. And what you've got, we talked about it last time, but I want you just to kind of rehearse it for those who didn't hear. You've kind of got a list of the stages of manhood. Why don't you go through that, and then let's take the last couple and dig in.
Yeah, here are the stages, and the hope is that our Heavenly Father mm-hmm. will step in right. and take us through it. The first stage is boyhood, where you know that He adores you. The next stage is the cowboy, where you get out in the field and you learn adventures and testing and trial. Then about the age of 20, in there comes the warrior, and he gets a mission, and he gets a battle to fight, and hopefully a king he can serve. And then comes the lover, and then the king, and then the sage.
This time, what I want to do is focus on the lover and the king and the sage. And if people want to hear about that other stuff, they're going to have to go buy your book. And also, if they want to get a copy of the CD, we'll put both on today. But in many ways, boyhood to cowboy to warrior to lover. And then only then is he really ready to become the king to rule the kingdom, if you would. Men today have a hard time being a lover.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because we have completely divorced ourselves from the heart. The lover is not first and primary about the woman, although it often takes a woman, right, to begin to, you know, kind of awaken this in him. Right. But you look at the poetry of David. Look at his Psalms. The man is in love with God, and he is so alive to the world. I mean, he writes about the stars, and he writes about the streams and the fields, right? He writes about the stag. David is a man with a heart that is alive. And so many guys in the lover stage, they try and just bypass it by staying in the head, by staying in reason, you know, and rationality. And it's really hiding, to be honest, because the lover stage is about beauty, and it's about romance. And when you wade into those waters, it can be a little scary.
You know, it's interesting when you say that. I was in my small group today. I meet with four other men who are phenomenal men who actually have been highly influenced by you. And we were talking about fly fishing. We had gone fly fishing, and we were talking about how we experienced God while fly fishing. And I know you understand this, but we were out there. I didn't know what I was doing, so they put the guide with me, which was great because he made me look really good.
Nice.
When I didn't know what I was doing. But, you know, we were talking about God's creation, and we all had a profound experience. We were there together, and that was a big deal. But we were out in the creation, and our passion for creation and our passion for one another, but also it even heightened our relationship with our spouses who weren't even there. Now, help me understand how that happened.
Exactly. It's beauty. It's beauty. As Simone Weil says, there's only two things that pierce the human heart, beauty and affliction. And here's the deal. If a man does not have beauty coming into his soul, and I mean creation and the ocean, I mean music, I mean all of the beauty God offers us, then guess what? He's starving for it, and he's going to go find it in his secretary. You see, because we are made to feast on beauty, and the lover stage is kind of the awakening of beauty. And what's so important about this is that when he does go get the girl, he will be a better lover if he has awakened in his own heart. Otherwise, he's going to treat her like a problem to be solved, right?
Yeah.
And women don't want to be fixed, you know?
No, that is the case, I would say, obviously, and I'm sure you would too, with the majority of men. They don't know how to be a lover. They haven't
exactly.
seen it. They haven't experienced it.
Exactly.
King, ready to rule a kingdom. What's going on with that?
Right. Now he's ready. Now he's ready. Having gone through the masculine journey, all the issues of masculine initiation come down to one question. When can you trust a man with power and influence, you know, with money and a position and a title? A church, right? A business, a family. And the answer is only after he has been shaped into a man. You see, because what you get, if you get a bad king, and the whole history of the Old Testament, the whole history of politics is usually about bad kings. They're boys who have the power of men, right? And as I said last time, if he didn't know he was the beloved son, he goes out and buys himself toys, or he makes the story all about him. You know, if he was never a warrior, then he won't live with courage, and he'll make mountains out of molehills now, you know, and he'll slay people, you know, just to make himself feel powerful. A good king wakes up in the morning, and he says, "What good can I do for the people in my kingdom?"
It's a great thing. And I was thinking when I was reading that section of your book, I was thinking about some of these people who are, you know, the well-known preachers of our day and priests of our day, frankly, who have abused the privilege of their authority. And I thought, these are boys. They don't know what it's like to be a king. They're kind of doing the best they can. And they were very talented people, probably, but they're doing the best they can. But they just didn't know how to say the words that you just said.
Right, exactly. Because if you don't have that shaped within you in the masculine journey,
right,
then you end up making it all about you.
Yeah.
Right? It's your pleasure, you know, it's your fame, and that is not what a good king is.
Right.
Right. You look at Jesus and you go, "Oh, he lays down his life for others. Now I get it."
Right. That is a great thought. Final stage is that of a sage, whose mission is to counsel and mentor others. You say that at a time in life when most men feel their time has passed, this could be the period of their greatest contribution. Speak to that.
Oh, we need them. We need the men of gray hair who have all of the years now of wisdom and experience, and they're retiring to Scottsdale, you know? they're leaving at the very time we need them because they think their life is over, right? Because our world worships adolescence. Right, and youth, and if anything, it says it ends with kingship, right? And so, for one thing, a king needs to let go of the throne at some point. He's got to pass the baton. It may look like that man's world is shrinking. The kids are out of the house, So he goes into an apartment. You know, his income maybe gets a little smaller. But actually, he could have the greatest impact now because this is the point where he becomes the elder at the gates, right? This is the man who is counseling kings. This is the man who is shaping the men who shape tomorrow.
Great input. Listen, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, I want to talk about how you are in the process of helping your sons do just that. The sage. And by the way, great advice for those of you who may be a little bit older. You know what? We need you. And hey, you can move to Scottsdale, but be sages in Scottsdale. Don't go away. A lot more to come when we come back on Homeward.
Good conversation today here on the Homeward broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns, joined by his guest John Eldridge, talking about what real manhood means. We have a link to John's book up today at homeward.com. Roger Marsh here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. So great to be sharing this platform with you each and every day through our daily half-hour broadcast. We also have a weekly half-hour and full-hour edition of the program. We have a 60-second short feature that's heard on hundreds of stations across the country. We have a daily devotional that sent out several million times a year. So many people are benefiting from that, along with our Good Advice Parent newsletter, our weekly culture brief, so many resources that you can access without cost. We're grateful to be able to provide them to you, and we can do so because of your tax-deductible donations to Homeward. You can give a gift online through our website, which is absolutely secure, by the way, at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
And so, there you have it. That's why when you see a rainbow, remember God's great promise to us. All right, boys and girls, remember if you have an offering today, you be sure to put it in the basket here on the front table.
Here's my quarter, Mr. Davis.
Why, thank you, Christine.
Christine, why'd you put that quarter in the basket?
Because I'm giving it to Jesus.
Is it okay with your mom and dad?
Sure, they do it too.
Every week?
Yep.
Hey, Mr. Davis, can I have a quarter to put in the basket too?
Wise is the parent who understands that children study every move grown-ups make. Children see, children do. And as they watch what we do as parents, they learn to value what we value. Children are never too young to be taught the biblical concept of giving in every area of our life. You can learn more about this principle when you read my tip sheet called Celebrating the Gift of Stewardship with Your Kids at homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. John Eldridge with us today. What a privilege to have him. What real manhood means. A very important conversation we're having today. Even if you're a woman, you're saying, well, how does this relate to me? I'm not a man. You know what? You probably have a man that you quite possibly are living with. You have sons. This is the kind of material that you've got to be able to hear as well and have them hear. John is the founder and director of Ransomed Heart Ministries in Colorado Springs, one of the most influential writers of our day. Wild at Heart is his book, Captivating, Unveiling the Mystery of a Woman's Soul, which he co-authored with his wife, Stacy, both best-selling books. They live in Colorado. Every man who is wild at heart needs a map to help him find what real manhood means. And that's what we're talking about today. John, you have a great quote, and I want you to respond to it. In your book, you say, when a father and a son spend time together, and when men spend time together, whether it's doing homework or shooting hoops in the street or working on the car or pheasant hunting, something passes between them, deep and unspoken, kind of the truest form of initiation that can be. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is so crucial, Jim. Masculinity is bestowed. You get it as a young man and a boy, and even as a man. You get it by being in the presence of it, and especially father to son. There's just something that you get. As you were describing sitting with your 80-year-old father,
right,
just being with him gave you strength.
Right.
I think we can be a little more intentional about that as well.
Sure.
As we talk about in the book on how to initiate boys.
That's what I want to bring up, because you've gone through this kind of pathway and are in the process with your own son, Sam. You just kind of went through a transition with him. Talk about how you prepared for that.
Well, I think if you'll notice, between the stage of boyhood and cowboy, there's a really big shift. And we seem to have found it around the age of 13. Something begins to go on in the boy's soul. And he's ready now to move from boyhood to cowboy, and he needs a man to take him there. He needs some intentional, sort of purposeful thinking. And so as I began to lay out a year of a journey for my son Samuel, when he turned 13 through his 13th year to his 14th birthday, I kind of mapped out a whole series of adventures, trials, work, testing, spiritual guidance that we'd kind of go through together to get him ready and help him make this transition into young manhood.
What were some of the things you did? What were you thinking about? What was the way you kind of settled on a theme?
Okay, here's the big deal. The question of this age is, do I have what it takes? Hmm. That's the question that the boy becoming a young man has. And so you got to set up situations where the question, whoa, really shows up, right? And then he gets to learn that he does. Now, this is really important because there's a lot of these blessing ceremonies out there, and they're very, very helpful. It's a beautiful thing to have someone say, you know, words over you. I love you, I bless you, you know. But it's very, very different to actually take a boy through a series of experiences where he comes to learn that he does. So, for example, our boys get to come on their first elk hunting trip when they're 13. They get to climb a mountain with me when they turn 13. Samuel has a fear of heights, so that was a big deal. And we didn't just pick a little mountain. We picked the Grand Teton, you know? Now, I wasn't abusing him, and we'd done a lot of rock climbing in the past, but it was all, you know, fairly close to the ground stuff. And so to take on this peak and to train for it, you know, we ran together every day, and we did push-ups and pull-ups, and all of that time spent with me getting ready for this test to scale this peak.
Which is just as important as, in some ways, scaling the peak.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So that when Samuel got there, he was ready for it. And then when he did it, it was huge for him, right? To stand on the top of the Grand and say, I did it. I am the man. I do have what it takes. We did all kinds of cool stuff together. He did a day of prayer and fasting alone in the woods, kind of out there like David would go out there, like Jesus would go to the wilderness, to listen to the voice of his Father. And to teach him how to do that, to fast and pray and listen to the voice of God.
That's great. In the Jewish tradition, you have your bar mitzvahs, you have your bat mitzvahs. You know, the ceremony part is a huge thing. You were talking about blessing ceremonies. You did a ceremony at his 14th birthday, and actually Stacy was also involved in it. So she was the one woman present. And that's one of the questions that some of the women may be asking is, you know, how do I be involved in part of this? You know, I may not be climbing the Grand Tetons, but I still want to be involved in that rite of passage with my son. What did you guys do, and what do you suggest?
Yeah, this is really important. Two things. First off, the main thing a boy gets from his mom is mercy and unconditional love. And that's just, no one else can give him that. And he usually, frankly, doesn't get that from dad, you know? So that's huge to offer that to him. But secondly, your answer to his question, do I have what it takes? Am I a man? Mom, for you to say, you are, honey. You are. You're an amazing young man. You know, that means a lot to him. I'm just saying that ultimately he needs to hear that as well from a masculine source. And so at Samuel's ceremony, this is after a year of initiation, his first pheasant hunt, right, and service projects and a mission trip and all that. Then we gathered the men who are in Samuel's life, and we spoke words to him. We gave him a sword, not a fake sword, a real one, with a real edge to it, to say, you are a man, you can handle something dangerous now. We gave him a shotgun. I think it's important at that point to say to a boy, we trust you. And this, it also means in our fellowship, now you get to hunt with the men. And then Stacy's there, and she's blessing him, and she's speaking words that she sees in him, and then something very, very hard for a mom to do. She releases him into the fellowship of men. You got to cut the apron strings, Mom. You got to let him become a man.
Boy, that just hurt for some moms who'd say, you don't understand, you know, my Samuel is 13, 14 years old, and he's not ready for that.
Yeah,
what
I
do you say to her?
You time this for when he is ready, but Bob is never going to think he's ready.
Right.
You know, that's the thing. It's Eve's greatest sorrow, this letting go, this letting the boy. And what I want to say to her is he will come back if you let him go. But if you don't, he will fight his way free from you. And that gets messy.
That's a great comment. You know, in just the closing time we have, I know that you believe that one of the most important principles for a father to remember about teaching his son to navigate this map of masculinity is to be intentional. Talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, you've got to go through the journey yourself, guys.
Right?
And the great hope of this, and the reason I wrote the book first, was for men. Your Father in heaven will still do this for you. If you are 50, if you are 70, he will still father you through this whole journey, okay? Can't give what you haven't received. So that's my first word. But the idea of being intentional is you watch for these moments in your boy's life where he is asking, do you delight in me, Dad? Do you love me? You look for these moments where he's afraid or fearful. He doesn't know he can face the challenge. And you help him win. And you show him, you do have what it takes, son. This isn't rocket science, you know? You just think about, what do you wish your dad did for you?
Boy, isn't that great. I've seen many times, and I've been a part of some of these ceremonies, where actually I think the dad is getting almost as much or more out of it than the son. And they kind of go through, in many ways, this path. They kind of go through it together because the dad had never done it before. So through the process of doing it with his son, he's experiencing some of the same things, maybe even sometimes in a more intense way.
It's really beautiful. God will do that. He will initiate you while you're initiating your son.
Right. Well, that is just great input. Listen, we could keep talking on and on. I'm so grateful that you took time for both of these last programs. They have been wonderful. We're going to help a whole lot of people. John Elders, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. Always good to talk to you.
Well, it's always great to talk with you too, John. I appreciate you so much. John Eldridge talking about the map for the masculine journey. It's a process that we as parents need to teach our sons. And dads play a key role in this process, obviously, but moms are an important part of the equation as well. And in these closing moments, I want to talk about some practical ways parents can work together to help our sons grow into the kind of men God wants them to become. First, remember the six stages of a man's life are, from John Eldridge, boyhood, cowboy, warrior, lover, king, and sage. And if you're a parent with sons in your home right now, well, you want to be able to focus on those first three seasons. Boyhood runs from birth till somewhere as they start adolescence. The cowboy season, basically through middle school, maybe part of high school. And then the warrior usually shows up right after high school graduation. Well, keep in mind that this is a sequence we're talking about. So many times we as parents start thinking about our sons as warriors or kings when they're really toddlers. Well, if you have a son who is under age 13, my advice for you is to make sure he's having a happy childhood. He doesn't need to be a grown-up right now. Affirm him as often as you can. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have restrictions and deal with limits and discipline because he must have that. But at the same time, lots of affirmation. Use the boyhood years as a training ground for his, well, cowboy experience. After he rides the wild cowboy years, and remember, I'm using John's terminology, into his teens, he'll need a transition into the warrior mode. He'll need a cause, and he'll need a king. And this is where you'll start to see your spiritual legacy take root. Obviously, you've been pouring into that, hopefully, from a young age, but this is where it really does take root and you begin to see it go. He's not going to find God in sports or cars or girls, even though those are all part of the cowboy years, and they're not bad things. I'm just simply saying make sure that you work on your son's spiritual development so that as he enters the warrior years and in some ways moves from dependence on you to independence, that that is something that he will take along with him.
And a big hearty amen for this discussion today here on the Homeward Broadcast. I can hear parents and grandparents all over the country, actually all over the world, since we stream worldwide and are being broadcast in the UK and other countries. Guam picks up the program as well. Homeward is everywhere, and we are only able to do these broadcasts and put them out and make them available because of your prayers and faithful financial support. We are so grateful for those of you who are prayer partners for us and with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can drop us a line. Actually, just you can send me an email directly at Roger, roger@homeward.com. And as you buy Jim Burns' books, for example, when you do make a purchase of one of Jim's books, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the ministry of Homeward as well. So we encourage you to visit our online resource center at homeward.com and check out the books that are available to you. Jim has books on marriage and parenting, sexual purity, and much, much more, and also spiritual development as well. 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family is a great book to take a look at. And you'll find all that information at homeward.com.
My thanks to John Eldridge for joining me for the past couple of programs here on Homeward. What a privilege to have John Eldridge with us. This is the kind of programming I love doing because it is so practical, and I know it's going to help a whole lot of families. If you missed any part of today's program, I encourage you to go to homeward.com. can sign up for a free subscription to our daily podcast. You can always listen to these programs on our website as well. And that way you won't have to worry about missing our regularly scheduled broadcast time, and you can take the program with you in your iPod or MP3 player wherever you go. And I know people who just literally listen to it on their computer almost on a daily basis. Again, for a free podcast subscription, go to homeward.com. And now, till next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.